you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. Reading from Psalm 66. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Sing to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Hi, listening friend. Thanks for tuning in for today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And Jason, as you walked in, I was just kind of leafing through the Psalms and just wanted to start with a Psalm. You know, it's a great book of the Bible to turn to. And I started reading a couple to you, and I'm like, oh, that one starts out with sin. And you're like, yeah, but that's a good thing. I'm
that's
like,
how it all starts out with sin.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to sing and declare some shouts of joy to God. We had a great rehearsal with the singing men on Monday night at the Great News Radio Center and had a good interview on Monday and Tuesday with Marianne Offenstein as she reads about memories of an African son and all the progress that's being made at the Great News Radio Center. I think the drywall is now finished. And Jim was doing taping and mudding yesterday, so we'll be putting up crown molding and in, I don't know, a week or so, probably painting. The cabinets are all set to be picked up, and the doors have arrived, and we'll be putting in a custom window that can actually open and close. And so we got to get you out there, and probably in 3 or so weeks, we'll actually be doing our morning program, I think, over there. So look forward to that, but we're continuing to make progress. We have signs ordered. I worked with that Donnelly, what's that, the sign maker, the big Donnelly. Oh, I was thinking you had done some sign work. The church had gotten a sign through
that. Oh, that was years ago. O'Donnell. I'm not sure what their name was.
Yeah, well, anyways, we have now got the graphics in. Mika Ziegler, who did our graphics 20-plus years ago, she actually designed the original logo, that old-fashioned-looking radio. I tracked her down in Washington State and said, hey, do you have the original design? Because you were asking me about this vector, you know, to get it so it's sized. And she said, well, what do you need? And I said, well, we have Great News Radio, you know, kind of the side with the logo. And so that'll be put up, I don't know, maybe by the end of this week or next week.
Because you're talking about taking an image that is just a little tiny, you know, an inch high and making it a couple feet high once it's on that sign. So you have to have that image that when it gets larger, it doesn't pixelate.
Yeah, so they were able to work it through, and so that'll be up and showcasing that we're a part of Lincoln Square in the coming days. So a lot of great progress, excited about things. You mentioned something I thought it was kind of funny. You used two references of an individual and a ministry being out of control, but both in very positive, good ways. A coffee maker being out of control.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. And that BSF, and I heard and learned through Holly, like 350 women this past Tuesday were signed up. So many people that they actually have a waiting list, which is a great issue or problem to have. But BSS, thank you, God, that so many women are desiring to study His Word and show up, what, like at 10 in the morning or 9 in the morning or
9,
something?
10 in the morning, yeah, 9 in the morning.
Yeah, to study God's Word. So, and I know you join in with other men on Monday nights. Is Jacob a part of that again?
Yep, Jacob and Molly. And about halfway through the year, once Abigail gets her reading up to speed, she'll be able to be a part of that year. That's the only qualifier for a kindergartner in BSF is that they can read, or they can at least read well enough to not be kind of a hindrance or a drag on the class. So we're hoping by Christmas time to have the whole family on board, but Samuel.
So. Was it Samuel or Abigail that was given a defense or an overview on the book of John? I saw a post
that was
the
Jacob.
Other day.
That was Jacob. Jacob was telling me about the Greek of it and this and that, and it was kind of interesting. He was really, really intrigued by it. In fact, over dinner the other night before we went to BSF, I was giving him an overview, and then it was funny that he came back and he said that in the middle of it, he asked his teacher, he said, well, do you know that the book of John is not a synoptic gospel?
Oh, gosh.
And he said his teacher just kind of looked at him like, oh, you're the pastor's kid, aren't you? So it was kind of funny.
Oh, he's bright and sharp and got a good heart and is growing. And
Yeah. So you said that because I really do think so. I mean, when we say, you know, BSF, I think last year they had 200 and something women. And so this year to have 350. Now, the interesting thing is last year they did the Book of Revelation, and so that was a brand new study at BSF. Never had been there. So they expected the numbers to be really high because they had people who had done BSF in the past coming back to get this new study, to be a part of the new study. Well, the Book of John, they've done it 6 or 7 times. Yeah. I think 5, 6, 7 times. And so naturally there was an assumption that the numbers would kind of come back down and kind of level back off because people who had done it before won't come back. They've already done it a number of times, even though I would argue that you can mine God's word over and over and over again, and there's always something to learn. And there's a value in being a part of a group. But to jump from 200 and something to 350 in a book of the Bible that largely many people would say that they know, or they know, or they know of good enough to not have to study it, John's a well-known gospel, I think that's outrageous. Yeah. I think it's outrageous, and not in a bad way, but I think it just shows us that we cannot rationalize God. We cannot rationalize what God is going to do or how God is going to provide, that he's going to call 350 women to raise them up. By the way, this is just a for free. This is a freebie for the men. Where are you at? That God is having to raise up 350 women to go and study God's word because the men aren't showing up. On Monday night, we have about, it's about 60, 70, 80 men. But, you know, we could hit 350 because all those wives, or at least most of them, all have husbands who could all come. And I'm going to tell you what, there's some warriors in that men's class, like Elmer Zules. I got a chance to talk to him last night. He's funny. He, you know, he had a heart attack recently. And I asked him when I got there, I said, so what are you doing? And I kind of tapped him on the chest, and he goes, vacation. Just took a little vacation. So he makes me smile, but he said, and here I am back here because I get God's word right back in me. And so where are the men at? Men, you need to stand up, because in the Bible, whenever God is talking to somebody, at least largely, God is talking to men, and he's asking men to go and do something. And what is he asking them to do? To declare the excellencies of his name. Now, I'm not trying in this way, please, women, don't hear me, that I'm somehow trying to say that you don't get to or you shouldn't. I love that you are. But listen, you need your man by your side, declaring the same thing with you, leading your kids. That's one of the things I love the most about BSF, Mark, is that I go and I bring some of our kids, my wife goes and brings the other kids, and then all week long we gather together and do the lesson and do the study together, and it gives us a chance to be on the same page. What a gift from God that we could be on the same page in a Bible study together for 5 or 6 months a year. You know, really getting into God's word together. And you know what? Our devotional time is usually a train wreck. So praise God that we've got a sheet. We've all got to follow it. We've all got kind of tracks to run on. God made it so easy for us to come around the table and do this. Now the only thing we've got to do is wrangle down our own schedules and our own busyness, which we need to do that because we need to see God. And so that's my two bits, but it is outrageous. 350 women is outrageous. It really is. It is outrageous. So maybe if you're in earshot right now, you could do me a favor and you could pray for Bible Study Fellowship in the Champaign-Urbana area, because 350 ladies requires even more leaders and people for God to raise up to help BSF to be effective. And so I don't even know where they're at because I haven't talked to those ladies yet, but I'll hopefully go home and see one of them tonight. But pray for BSF, because that's amazing, 350 ladies, and then again another 50, 60, 70 guys doing that. But listen, men, come out on Mondays at 6:45. You can get a choice. You can come. It's First Baptist Church of Savoy. You can come there, and you can say you're going to do BSF, but if you get there and you get a little scared, you can go down the hall. Oh, no, you can't go down the hall.
No, they used to be able to. Oh, now they have to come over to Lincoln
Square.
That's
right. Now you got to go to the mall.
Yeah, you could join the singing men. In fact, on Monday nights, while we were singing, I opened up the doors to the Great News Radio Center, so that way people in the mall can hear us singing. And about halfway through, maybe three-quarters of the way through, this guy's standing at the doorway for a while. And, you know, I'm kind of over off a bit, and I'm looking at Deuter like, hey, go invite the guy in. And I think Deuter got up, or somebody waved him in, and he sat down. J.D. went and got him some music. We don't know where the guy's at, you know, spiritually or anything. Gave him some sheet music, and he looked like he was a little lost. I was trying to watch him follow along. But he sang a couple songs with us. And I know at some point he got up and left, but it was kind of interesting. He was worshiping along, and we think we found our brand new accompanist. Mm. His name is Pierre Tang from Hong Kong.
Oh.
And Pierre, you would think like a French guy or something, Taiwanese, mm-hmm. and very, very gifted. And he shared some of his journey. But anyway, the Singing Men also meet on Monday night. But yeah, studying God's Word, it's got to be a part of your life, men and women. And I know Holly, I think, had 4 or 5 of her Chinese friends come. And it's like an evangelistic outreach, because some people that are maybe very new to the Scriptures or have mm-hmm. never formally been in a study, it's a great way to kind of go through and be introduced to the Gospels in a way where, yes, there's some study and preparation, but there's the fellowship time. And what it's like redundancy, which is really good. You kind of read it, you study, you prepare, then you hear a message on it, then you get into your small group and you kind of cover the message, and then there's a recap. It's been a while. It's been
some
years.
Yeah, there's recap and kind of the notes. But I think, you know, the key is that you get around a group of people, and in that group you're in all different kinds of places in your walk with the Lord. And so there's kind of a leveling effect in there where you get to hear different things. And I'll be honest, sometimes, you know, I know so much theology and doctrine and all those kinds of things. You get in that room and somebody who doesn't know any of that stuff, none of the pipes are clogged up, they say something that's absolutely profound from a place that I've not been for a long time, because I've moved down the road in terms of maybe you would say my maturity, or at least you would say my study. But sometimes they'll say things and you're just like, wow. Mm. I mean, it'll hit me and stay with me for days, thinking, gosh, I was so blessed by that, where that came from. Mm-hmm. And so got that. Then you have the lecture, which is generally, you know, on the wherever you're at in the Bible. And it's very conversational in terms of there's a lot of stories and a lot of that. And then you got the homework piece where you go home and you actually get to answer. And the questions are usually, you know, there's definitely Bible study questions, but then there's a lot of questions that really help to ask you, you know, why do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Mm-hmm. You know, questions that you got to sit back and you got to go, wait a second, you know what? Here's the thing that I think happens. Here's the thing that I keep thinking. I see it happen. Here's the thing I keep seeing happening. Is Christians get together to fellowship, and they get together to fellowship, and they kind of do the Christian version of what's the weather. You know, how's the Lord been speaking to you lately? How's the Lord? They don't ask tough questions. And a tough question is, why do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Because how you answer that question will impact and inform how you will share who Jesus is. Because in the Bible, constantly people are talking about why he is the Son of God. And John says, I wrote this so that you'll know that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul says, you need to know who he is. Peter says, you need to know who he is. And so we need to know who he is. Now, what's fascinating is when Jesus shows up in the Bible, like when Paul sees him, now Paul's not even a follower of Jesus, and then he's called Saul in Acts chapter 9. He falls on the ground and he goes, it's you, Lord. He knows who it is. It's undeniable. He knows who he is. And so we need, as the people of God, to know who Jesus is. And sometimes I think that some of those questions we don't talk about. You know, we kind of keep it real surfacey. And I think that's because some of us are maybe afraid to engage the sin of our brothers. Maybe we're afraid to intercede for our brothers on the shaky ground of life. Because every single one of us stands there. Don't think that you're a Christian and everything is going okay, because the Bible says you will be persecuted. And so that means that every single one of us have a degree of hardship to our life that we need to talk about. But then it's fascinating. I was looking at it today, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, it says this, and this is the confidence we have towards him. That means our confidence is for him and towards him. It means that my confidence comes from Christ, and my confidence comes from seeing Christ. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is Romans 8:28, right? That God is going to do for those who he love according to his will. Not according to what you want, but according to his will. Those are two different things. What you want isn't always in God's will. Look at God loves you, and he doesn't want you to drive a junky car, but he doesn't necessarily want you to have that car you want. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a guy who came up to me one time, and he said, I'm just really praying. Will you pray with me that God will give me a new pickup truck? And I say, I'll pray for you about that. I'll pray with you for that. But I don't know if that's God's will for you or not. But I do know that maybe God wants you to do something with your life. Share the gospel. Be a powerful witness mm-hmm. for him. And maybe if getting a new pickup truck will be that. I don't know. But ask anything according to his will and what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, now how will we know if he hears us? Because he answers according to his will. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we asked of him. This is saying is, we know that he hears us because he answers our prayers and we have those requests as a witness. Mm-hmm. You know, what's really interesting is before I came to Muhammad, and I even do it now, though, but I did it even in a different way went before. We were missionaries, hometown kind of missionaries in the Peoria area, training and equipping churches, doing a bunch of different things, and we were supported. And every single time that we received a check, some sort of something from somebody, a gift of any kind, no matter what it was, I would either take a picture of it or I would save it, and I would put it in file folder. I would just keep it in a file folder. And one time I was with a guy who was a missionary, and we were talking before we even did this, and we were talking to him, and I said, how do you stay encouraged? Because I have some really discouraging days. And he took me to his bedroom, and he pulled out this one of those under-the-bed kind of Tupperware things, and he pulled it out, and he opened it up, and he had every note and check and everything that anybody had ever sent him. And he said, sometimes I come in here, and I have to get on the floor and weep and pull this out and just thumb through them and remind myself that God is faithful.
Yeah.
And so I do. I keep a file folder even now. If somebody who's listening right now, you send me a note, know that that goes into a file folder because I save it, because I have days where I need to open it up and pull that file folder out and set it on my desk and read through the notes and remember that God has called me and he loves me. And so I save. Because listen, every time somebody sends me a note of encouragement, that's an answer to prayer because I pray all the time that God would encourage me. Every time somebody sends us some sort of gift, I thank God because we ask all the time that God would provide for us. And so those are answers to prayer. Those are the requests that I have that stand witness. I have taken, in fact, this happened a few weeks ago. I had an unbeliever, somebody who's learning about who Christ is. I had him come in my office and they said, how do you know that God is real? And I pulled out my file folder.
Hmm.
And they go, what is that? It's huge.
Hmm.
You know, because it's fat. Like, I need some different file folders or something. It's big. And I laid it on the counter, you know, kind of opened it up, and the thing just kind of falls all over the place. And this girl, she said, what is all that? I said, this is God's faithfulness. This is every request I've ever asked that he has given. I said, and there's some that he said no to. But these are all his answers to prayer. And so you ask me if I have reason to believe. I have all these reasons to believe. And then I said I have even more because I'm not good at filing. I'm not good at keeping things sometimes. Some things get thrown away. But God is faithful. He's faithful. And so therefore I have a confidence towards him that exceeds even my own understanding and my own expectation. I think that's what the BSF leaders are experiencing right now because they're going, God is outrageous. Like, he's outrageous. Because beyond our confidence was that God was going to provide this, and God did exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. By the way, this is where I know we're not studying our Bible enough, because when God brings all these people and God does all this thing, and even you at the Great News Radio Center, God does something, and you're like, I can't believe it. And God goes, no, I wrote about it. Like, it's in the Word. Like, why are you surprised by the things that I do? I told you I would do them, and I told you I'd be faithful to do them. I think there's going to come a day when the heavens are going to open up and Jesus is going to descend on a white horse, and we're all going to be like, oh, my goodness. And then he's going to be like, no, it's in the book.
Yeah.
Haven't you guys read? I mean, I think that's why Jesus, when he's walking along the road and the Pharisees start asking him questions, he says, haven't you read? He says, haven't you read? Don't you know? I wrote it down. I gave it to you for a reason. That you might, what does Romans 15 say? That you might gain endurance and encouragement through my word. And so that's what we are oftentimes missing, because we get depressed or we get overwhelmed and we get all of these things. And we forget that God has already told us. He's already gifted us and given us his word. He's already told us. And by the way, the word says that every single one of his promises are a yes and an amen in Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
And so everything that we ask in Christ's name, according to Christ's will, according to God's promises in Christ, are a yes and an amen. And now for us, it's the tension of is it today or tomorrow or next week or next year? Or when is that all going to happen, Lord? I don't know. And then he takes you back to his word and he says, I'm not going to give you more than you can handle for today, because today has enough trouble of its own. But don't worry, tomorrow is coming and you'll need to be faithful and obedient in that also.
Hmm. Well, in a minute and a half, can you explain whether Jesus liked coffee and would have met a shop owner that maybe wouldn't serve him it?
So I went to a coffee shop on my way into the program, and I was asking the guy about, you know, what kind of coffee is good for French press. And he said, well, that's the one you want right there. It's not too acidic. It's not this. And he roasts his own coffee. He does the whole thing. He owns the coffee shop. So I set the coffee down on the counter. I said, well, I'll take this bag of coffee. And it's not cheap either. It's like $15 for a pound of coffee. I'm like, well, I'll take this coffee, but it smells so good. I said, well, I'll take this coffee. And he goes, well, what kind of grinder do you have? And I said, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about this. I go, I don't know. You press it. It goes, grinds the coffee up. And he pulls the coffee off the counter, and he goes, I'm not going to sell this to you if you're going to put it in that. Yeah. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? He goes, no, I'm not kidding. You'll ruin it. And I just looked at him, and I go, wait a second. So here, let me help us out here for a second. He said, I need to put it in this grinder over here so I grind it properly so that the finished product is free of sediment. When you French press coffee, if you don't do it properly, when you pour the coffee in your cup, as you drink the coffee down, when you get to the bottom, you see kind of, people joke, that's called mud. It's sludge. It's sediment. And that's because the coffee was ground too fine. French press coffee needs to be a little coarser. So he said, look, I've got this thing that when we grind it, it'll grind it properly, and you won't have all that junk in it. Mm-hmm. And isn't that just how it is when it comes to God? That I love that this guy wasn't going to sell me the coffee because he wanted to make sure it was handled properly. You know, doesn't the Bible say rightly handling the word of God, that you are a workman approved, rightly handling the word of God? And this man loves coffee enough that he's not going to sell you any if you're not going to handle it properly. And my question to you is, are you going to walk alongside people in such a way that you are not going to allow them to mishandle the word of God? And that doesn't mean that you're going to be judgmental and corrective, but that means that you're going to be loving and patient and gentle and kind, and you're going to show them what the scriptures say, because you want them to be approved by God, that they will rightly handle the word of God. And so you may have to be the mechanism or the coffee grinder to make sure that the grind is proper so there's not all that junk and sediment. By the way, somebody came to me at a meeting that I went to where we had a bunch of pastors get together. We were talking about how people get off track. And one of the guys said, that's because nobody is willing to step up and be the filter. Nobody's willing to step up. Everybody wants to be so passive-aggressive in our little Christian circles. And he said, somebody has to raise their hand and says, I don't think that's what the Word of God says. And be that filter so we don't have all that sediment and junk that collects in the bottom of the cup. You didn't think I could do that, did you?
No, because how you brought application into a fun story that I wanted you to share, but I love you even brought in Awana, which Awana has been kicked off at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mohammed, and Bible Study Fellowship's being kicked off. And if you missed a portion of the program at the front end, we want to encourage you, especially men. 350 women are showing up on Tuesday mornings to study God's Word. Men, it's an investment you want to make in your marriage, in your life, investment in God, getting to know Him better Monday nights, and it's free. It's like they show up,
totally free. And let me tell you what, I'm gonna make it. You won't be able to say no. If you arrive on Monday night at 6:45 at the First Baptist Church of Savoy for Bible Study Fellowship, Elmer Zules will shake your hand.
He's an encourager.
He sure is.
All right, everybody, get in God's Word. Join Bible Study Fellowship. I guess, Jason, it's a little awkward for me to say, but maybe have a cup of coffee, or the next time you have a sip of coffee.
That's kind of Pharisaic for you because you don't drink coffee.
Yeah, or if you see somebody drinking coffee, remember the illustration of being that filter for the Lord Jesus
Christ.
Maybe
you guys can pray that Mark would drink
coffee. To encourage people. It burns my mouth. I drink lots of water.
Couldn't you drink iced coffee?
I guess I could, but lots of water. All right. Well, we love God's Word. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I appreciate you, Jason, encouraging us all to step up, be in the Word, and be that filter or that mechanism that God will use to raise the banner of His Word, encouraging others to study their Bibles. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.